والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله أو beloved نبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم said that a person who sends 1,000 times daily durood or salutations or salawat upon me, he will not die till he sees his place in Jannah. صلوا على الحبيب صلى الله تعالى على محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم صلاة وسلام عليك يا سيدي يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله. علم is the biggest inheritance of our beloved Nabi صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم. And علم is that quality and ability which has made Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu very distinctive, and Sayyidina Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala anhu very special, and Sayyidina Uthmani Ghani radiallahu ta'ala anhu very unique, and Sayyidina Ali al-Murtaza Shere Khuda radiallahu ta'ala anhu as Shahinshah of Vilayat. So this is that inheritance of ilm which comes from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When we talk about Hazrat Sayyidina Ali al-Murtaza Shere Khuda radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he was very different. All Sahaba Ikram had their own unique qualities. As far as the qurb of Almighty Allah Azza wa Jal is concerned, there is a sequence. And the sequence is that after Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, after all the prophets, afzalul khalaik ba'dal anbiya, Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. Then Hazrat Umar Farooq, then Hazrat Usman Ghani, then Hazrat Ali al-Murtaza Shere Khuda radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. This sequence is very important, and there is consensus of Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah on this sequence. So if anyone wants to break that sequence, he is not one of us. Okay, we must be very sure about it as Sunnis. But besides looking from this angle, every Sahabi is different and unique. That's why Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said, "Ashabi kan nujum, bi ayyihim iqtadaytum ihtadaytum." And here, Ashabi does not cover few people. It's mutlaq, is common. Every person who qualifies to be a Sahabi, he is included here. Ashabi kan nujum. My Sahaba are like nujum, plural of najm, stars. Stars always shine. They give you guidance. You know, today's time, everything is computerized. Your aeroplanes are computerized, your ships are computerized, your motor cars, people don't travel on camels and horses anymore. So all the conveyances that you have today are computerized. But olden days, they only used to see at the stars for guidance. That would give you the direction. So, Ahle Bayt Athar are the Ark of Nuh alayhi salam. Whoever sat in it, one who sat in the ship, he attained salvation. And the one who remained behind, he is destroyed because he did not sit in the ship. And in order to travel in the water, you must be sitting in the ship. It's not a dry surface where you can walk. And if you try to walk on top of the water, yes, if you are a wali of Allah, then anything is possible. But you and me, I know about myself that I'm not that one. And maybe some of you are. And some of you should be. Because where there are 40 believers, one amongst them is a wali of Allah. And it's not necessary that wali must know that he is a wali. So many of you might be awliya and you don't know that you are awliya. So you must be in the ship in order to travel in the water. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has given us complete guidance. Complete. Nothing is untouched. Everything is explained. Ulama ikram put these two ahadith together and they say, this is the most beautiful combination of ship and the stars. Because if you want to reach your destination, number one, you must be sitting in the ship. And number two, you must be taking guidance from the stars. And if, for example, you decide, I will sit in the ship, but I will not take guidance from the stars, then what will happen? You'll keep on moving in the ship, in circles all the time. Your fuel is exhausted, your food is exhausted, your power is exhausted. You will find no direction because when you are miles inside the water, then everywhere you see, there's only water and nothing else. So end result is destruction. And if you say no, I will look towards the stars, I will take guidance from the stars, but I don't need ship. So what's your option? Get into the water and start walking. Let's see how far you go. Then you will start drowning and you will die. Either way, there is a death. Either way, there is destruction. And the salvation is in this way which the Sunnis follow. That they sit in the ship of Ahle Bayt and they look towards Sahaba Ikram as stars of guidance and they reach their destination. Some people say, no, we are in the ship. They're in the ship. And they claim to be in the ship. But they are making holes in that ship all the time. because they don't take guidance from the stars. And some they say, no, we very loyal to Sahaba Ikram. We very wafadar to Sahaba Ikram. All imbalanced. So mazhab-e-muhazzab, civilized mazhab, is Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah. So all Sahaba Ikram, they are guided, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has promised Jannat to all Sahaba. وَكُلَّمْ وَعَدَ اللَّهُ الْحُسْنَى. With all of them Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has promised Husna. And what is the meaning of Husna? Mufassireen Ikram have explained, Husna means Jannat. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has promised Jannat with all Sahaba. Now every Sahabi is Jannati. Khulafa'i Rashideen are Jannatis. Ashara Mubashara are Jannatis. Badri Sahaba are Jannatis. Whether they became Sahabi before Fatah Makkah or they became Sahabi after Fatah Makkah, as long as they are Sahabi, they are Jannatis. Hazrat Amir Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala anhu is Jannati. Hazrat Abu Sufyan is Jannati. Hazrat Wahshi radiallahu ta'ala anhu is Jannati. As long as they saw Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with the sight of Iman and they died with that condition of Iman, they are Jannatis. Now, who has the right to judge a Jannati? Who has the right to criticize a Jannati? Who has the right to become a judge, an arbitrator, after 1400 years, that I want to sit and I want to decide between two Sahabis? That must be a madman, isn't it? You have no right. You can't even reach to the dust of their shoes. They all were mujtahideen. Hazrat Sayyidina Amir Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala anhu is mujtahid. Hazrat Sayyidina Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu gave shahadat of his being mujtahid. This hadith paak is in Bukhari Sharif. Because somebody told him that he did this and he did that. What's your opinion? He said, فَقَدْ أَصَابَ لِأَنَّهُ فَقِيهٌ. He did right because he is a faqih. I mean, he had a different opinion in comparison to Hazrat Amir Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and somebody said that, oh Ibn Abbas, Hazrat Amir Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala anhu is doing differently. He said, it's fine, because he is mujtahid. He made ijtihad, so he can do so. Hazrat Sayyidina Ali al-Murtaza Shere Khuda radiallahu ta'ala anhu is also mujtahid. So if there is any ikhtilaf, any dispute among Sahaba Ikram, that ikhtilaf and dispute is like the ikhtilaf of Imam Azam Abu Hanifa and Imam Shafi'i radiallahu ta'ala anhumah. And you know that mujtahid is a person that if he reaches the correct result, he gets double the sawab. For example, in his ijtihad, in his exercise of ijtihad, if he reaches the correct result, he gets double the sawab. And if he makes mistake, he still gets one sawab. There is no sin on mujtahid. That is the reason that ulama ikram have said that
if following Imam Shafi'i rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, you do rafa yadain, you got the immunity because you're following a mujtahid. And even if there is a mistake, mujtahid is rewarded and you are also rewarded. But if you do it as ghair muqallid, then there is no immunity. Then there is a sin and sin and sin. So therefore, this is a common understanding that we should have, that we should not be misled by someone when people come and start talking, oh, this sahabi did this and this sahabi did that. We must not even give hearing to this kind of discussions. You know, when you love someone, your eyes are blind to see the faults of the beloved. Isn't it? When you love someone, your ears are deaf to hear the faults of the beloved. And you say, I love all Sahaba, but when you are put to a test, and someone comes and talks bad about a Sahabi, you still give hearing. And if you reading some book, some history, what is history? I mean, if history comes against Sahih Ahadith, we will reject history. So there are a lot of wrong informations that come to us via history. What we would look? We would look at Quran first, then we would look at Ahadith Mubarakah. Quran says, أَشِدَّاءُ عَلَى الْكُفَّارِ رُحَمَاءُ بَيْنَهُمْ. That is the quality of Sahaba, that they are very hard on kuffar. They're not hard on each other. What is their relationship with each other? رُحَمَاءُ بَيْنَهُمْ. With each other, they are very soft. And a historian tells you, no. They were not soft with each other. They were enemies of each other. So what are you going to choose? Quran or the history? Yes, Quran. That's our mindset. Allama Iqbal says it very beautifully. Ho halqa-e yaran to bareshm ki tarah narm, razm-e haqq o batil ho to faulad hai momin. So this is the quality of a believer, that ho halqa-e yaran to bareshm ki tarah narm. When he is amongst his own people, he is soft like silk. Razm-e haqq o batil. And when there is a, you know, banging of haqq and batil, when there is a fight of haqq and batil, then he is faulad. You know what's the meaning of faulad? Steel that you cannot bend, very solid steel. That's a mu'min. It's actually the interpretation of the verses of Quran. Ashidda'u alal kuffar ruhama'u bainahum. Keeping that in mind, we will move forward. That Hazrat Sayyidina Ali al-Murtaza, Shaykh Khuda radiallahu ta'ala anhu, very different in many aspects of his life. And one of his special quality was ilm. Ilm-e-deen. He was a grand mufti amongst Sahaba-e-Ikram. Because when they would have difficulty to find a shari'i masla, or to find a solution in a shari'i masla, they will come to Hazrat Sayyidina Ali al-Murtaza Shaykh Khuda radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and he will give them the answers. Hazrat Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he says that whenever we asked any shari masla from Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he always gave correct answer. And Hazrat Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he says that Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu is best in ilmul faraid, that is ilm miras, and in making decisions in muqaddamat, in different cases, he is the best to make the right decisions. Hazrat Sa'id bin Musayyib radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he says that amongst the Sahaba ikram, there was nobody who could say, come and ask me anything and I will answer. That's a very big claim. Come and ask me anything, I'll answer. He said that was one person, and that was Hazrat Ali al-Murtaza Sher-e Khuda radiallahu ta'ala anhu. You must know that Hazrat Ali al-Murtaza Sher-e Khuda radiallahu ta'ala anhu was mushir. He was advisor of Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and he was advisor of Hazrat Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And then on difficult cases, they will not make a decision till Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu comes, and they would consult him. After taking his opinion, they will feel safe and then they will pass the judgment. This is what Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu used to do very often. In difficult cases, if Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu is not there, he'll make a decision, but he will say, oh Allah, I seek your refuge from making a mistake, because Ali is not with me, normally he would guide me. Every Sahabi, whatever greatness you see in them, you see that greatness because of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. One day, Hazrat Sayyidina Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he was talking to some of his friends, and he said that today people talk a lot about Umar, and all the governors, they used to shiver when they used to think of Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu. He was very strict, very powerful. And if any of the ruler, you know, under his khilafat did not do something correctly, he would punish them. Because one of the governor started wearing silk clothes and he started having a bodyguard with him. He called him to Madinatul Munawwara, and he said, take out your pushak, take out your clothes, and wear a blanket. Now, he was a governor, and he started enjoying the power, and he started wearing nice clothes. He said, no, wear this blanket. And he said, there are sheep and there are goats. Go become a shepherd and look after them. He said, this is what you deserve. In my rule, no governor must have two curries cooked at one time. No governor must wear better clothes than normal people. No governor must have a watchman or a bodyguard. No governor must have a Turkish horse, because that used to be the expensive horse, like Mercedes and BMWs today, in comparing with other cars. So in those days, the Turkish horse was like your BM and your Mercedes today. So he said, no, governors must not do that. Very powerful person. And one day he was saying that I used to look after the camels of my father, and I used to wear a small piece of cloth just to cover my aura, and I used to get lazy sometimes. I'm not fulfilling the orders of my father. And my father Khattab, he'll come with a branch full of thorns and he will hit me on my naked body. And I used to cry. I had nowhere to go. I had no respect. But today, I'm the Khalifa of Muslimin. People respect me. They love me. All that what I have attained is because of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There's nothing of mine. There's nothing of mine. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam built me in this way. He trained me in this way. So I became so unique and so special. So this is what every Sahabi, if you go and study their history, you will find Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam injected them with those beautiful qualities and attributes. So Hazrat Sayyidina Ali al-Murtaza Sher-e Khuda radiyallahu ta'ala also got similar kind of experience. Hazrat Ali radiyallahu ta'ala anhu says that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sent me towards Yemen and he said, go and act as a qazi, go make decision amongst the people. He said, Ya Rasulullah, I don't have much experience, I'm a young man and I don't know how to decide, you know, in disputes, and you are sending me in Yemen as a qazi. After hearing this, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam put his blessed hand on my chest. This is what Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala says. He put his hand on my chest and he hit me on my chest with his blessed hand. And he said, Ya ilaha al-alameen, iske kalb ko roshan farma de. Oh Allah, enlighten his heart and put asar, an effect on his tongue. And Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala says that, I take qasam, I take oath of the one who makes a huge tree out of a small seed. After that, I was never worried to make a decision about any muqaddama or any dispute, and all my decisions were always correct, because this is the dua of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Therefore, Hazrat Sayyidina Ali al-Murtaza Sher-e Khuda radiyallahu ta'ala, he had a very different technique in making decisions, that your mind would not even go that way, and he'll think of something and he'll make a decision just like that. You know, there was a case that a master sent his slave with his son to another city to go and do some work. And when they reached that city, the slave was little bigger in age, had more experience, and that the son of his master was a small boy. And he went in that city and he said that, I'm the master and he's my slave. Now the slave is telling the people, I'm the master. Little boy, who was the son of his master, says, he's the slave and I want to sell him. So now in the marketplace, you know, in olden days, you could sell and buy slaves. So now people are there to buy that boy. The boy is saying, no, I'm not his slave. He's our slave. Now the fight started. It was the time of the Khilafat of Sayyidina Ali al-Murtaza Sher-e Khuda radiallahu ta'ala. The Muqaddama went there. Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala said, okay, I'll decide. He told one of his servants that, you know, this wall that's there, make two holes. And he made two nice holes in the wall. And he said, both of them, put your heads there. Now they're standing this side of the wall, and heads are on the other side of the wall. And he said to his servant, take the sword. And he's standing with the sword. And then suddenly he said, kill the slave! And the slave pulled his neck. So the decision is made. This is how he used to do. Very, very technical. And there's another muqaddama, there's another case that came in the court of Sayyidina Ali al-Murtaza Sher-e Khuda radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. You know, two women fighting on one child. And both are claiming that this is my child. Now that was not the time of DNA test. So you couldn't go and test that, you know, whose child is he. But now Hazrat Ali is Hazrat Ali. So now they're fighting. Both are equal claims. He said, okay, no problem. Let's cut the child into two pieces. And you take one and you take one. Very seriously, you know, he's a khalifa. I mean, he's the king. He's a powerful man. He's the ruler. Very seriously. And everyone would believe that what he's saying, he'll do it. So he called person or servant to someone, come, cut this child into two pieces, give this one half and give that one half. One woman is keeping quiet, the other one is saying, please, don't kill the child, don't cut the child, let this woman take the child. Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala said, she is the mother. Give the child to him, to her. So this, he was very munfarid, very unique person when it came to knowledge and making decisions and etc. There are a lot of beautiful examples. Abdurrahman ibn Muljam, who was a Kharji, and actually fell in love with a Kharji woman. Imam Suddi rahmatullahi ta'ala writes that Ibn Muljam fell in love with a Kharjiya woman, and her name was Qatam. And she put a condition that my mahar must be 3,000 dirhams, one male slave and one female slave, and the murder of Hazrat Ali. That's my mahar. If you want to marry me, then you have to do this. So he did that. Hazrat Ali al-Murtaza Shere Khuda radiallahu ta'ala anhu, in the morning he was coming to the masjid, and his habit was that he used to give neki ki da'wat to people, invite them, come for the namaz. As-salat, as-salat. In the mahal of da'wat Islami, we follow the sunnah of, alhamdulillah, Hazrat Ali al-Murtaza Shere Khuda radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and we say it's Sada'i Madina. That's in our terminology, that you wake people up for Fajr. In Pakistan, we actually go in the streets, like 8-10 people will get together and walk from one street to another street, and together say, As-salatu was-salamu alayka ya Rasulallah, please, you know, Ashkan-e Rasul, get up and read your Fajr. May Allah take you to Medina again and again. Even some beautiful du'as, and alhamdulillah, a lot of people get up, and with that, masajid get filled up in the morning. It's a very good way. Okay, in this country, it's difficult. Actually, in some places, we can't even give azan of Fajr. Oh, we have to turn down the volume because it's not a Muslim country. But there are other ways and means. For example, by calling or miscalling or, you know, sending messages, you can wake many people up. And this is what our elders used to do. Whatever was available at that time, whichever way, form they could do, they used to do that. So Hazrat Ali al-Murtaza, Shere Khuda radiallahu ta'ala anhu, that was his habit, that on the streets when he would walk and come towards the masjid, he would shout loudly, As-salat! As-salat! So people can hear and they can get up and come to the masjid. And this Abdurrahman ibn Muljam, he was waiting and he attacked Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu very hard. They say that it went from this side of the head right up to the brain. So it was a very severe attack. And Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu fell at that point, and according to some narrations that Hazrat Ali al-Murtaza Shere Khuda radiallahu ta'ala anhu was in the masjid, in the state of sajda, when this Kharji attacked Hazrat Ali al-Murtaza Shere Khuda radiallahu ta'ala anhu. So he became shaheed in the state of salat. So there are different narrations that ulama have said. And one of the most difficult thing that, which always people ask and it's very difficult to answer, and that is, where is the mizar of Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu? Now there are several narrations. I would read out to you, and then we would have some idea, you know, when someone asks us, where is his mizar, then we can give an answer. And for the students especially, you need to hear this very carefully. The mizar of Hazrat Ali al-Murtaza Shere Khuda radiallahu ta'ala anhu is hidden. It is not zahir. And where is it? There are many opinions and aqwal and ikhtilaf of ulama. Abu Bakr Ayyash, he says that his qabr was not shown to people because of Kharijis, because the Kharijis would have come and even attacked the body of Hazrat Ali al-Murtaza Shere Khuda radiallahu ta'ala anhu. So this was a protection from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that his qabr was not exactly identified. And there's another historian, his name is Shariq, he says that Hazrat Hassan radiallahu ta'ala anhu took his body from Darul Imara, that's Kufa, to Medina Tayyibah. So according to this narration, Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu's body mubarak is in Jannatul Baqi in Madinatul Munawwara. And Mubarrad has said, and he takes from Muhammad bin Hanif, that Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu's body mubarak was put in the first in the grave first, and then it was moved from that grave to another grave, and nobody knows where is that grave. And Ibn Asakir reports from Sa'id bin Abdul Aziz that when Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala became Shaheed, his body Mubarak was put on a camel to take towards Madinatul Munawwara, so he can be buried next to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. While they were going during the night, the camel started running and it disappeared. It disappeared with the body of Hazrat Ali al-Murtaza Shere Khuda radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And he says that's the reason that people of Iraq, they say that Hazrat Ali is in the clouds. Because they have no idea where is his body. That after a lot of searching where that camel went, they found the camel in Tay. Tay is a place in Iraq. And his body Mubarak was found there and he was buried in Tay. Now there's so many aqwal and so many, you know, ikhtilaf on this. It's very difficult to say with certainty that where is exactly the Mizar Mubarak of Hazrat Ali al-Murtaza Shere Khuda radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And I've heard from some scholars as well, and I feel the same way, that this is the plan of Almighty Allah Azza wa Jal. You know, people don't know where is his Mizar. And there are many who worship him. They regard Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu as ilah, an object of worship, or God. Now imagine if they exactly knew where is the Mizar Mubarak of Hazrat Ali al-Murtaza Shere Khuda radiallahu ta'ala anhu, for them that would have been another Kaaba. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with his, you know, wise plans, hid the Mizar Mubarak of Hazrat Ali al-Murtaza Shere Khuda radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And some of beautiful pearls of wisdom I would like to share with you that come from Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu, that ilm is better than wealth. Ilm protects you, but you have to protect the wealth. Safe, security, electric fences, you know, security companies must come and pick up cash from your shop, because you don't want to carry cash. The robbers know that you're carrying the cash. Cash is gone and you are also gone. You're always worried how to look after. But ilm, if you got ilm, nobody will steal it, and ilm will protect you. How beautifully. The more you think about it, the deeper you go, you will find that fragrance of wisdom in the call of Sayyidina Ali al-Murtaza Shere Khuda radiallahu ta'ala. Ilm is hakim, ilm is ruler, and money is subject. You agree? Ilm is a ruler. If you are true alim, then you will rule the people of money. You understand what I'm trying to say? You will not be running towards the doors of people with money. They will be running towards you to get the guidance. This is what exactly happens. So, person of ilm is a hakim. He is a ruler. And when you spend ilm, it does not become... When you spend money, it becomes less. That's why always a rich person, when he wants to give charity, his hands are shivering. And many will hide away. And Mufti Sahib got experience, I also got experience, because we run organizations, and we run organizations with chanda. We go and collect money. And people that kiss your hands in the masjid, they'll make you sit half an hour outside with the ordinary people, that the boss is busy. You know, so, why they're scared. They don't want to give. 2.5%, that's must. They also don't give properly. And one person, maybe his zakat could be 10 million. Very rich person. He was speaking to me. He said, you know, it's so difficult to give the whole zakat at one time. You know, the cash flow problems and this and that, my zakat is so much. So, is there no way that I can do some other way around? I said, yes, there is a way. Start giving in advance. For example, if your zakat is 12 million, so every month you must give 1 million. And in Ramadan, when your time comes to calculate the zakat and give your zakat, you have already paid 11 million and 1 million is left, and you pay that 1 million in that month and your zakat is paid. But he said, can't I pay like little? For example, in Ramadan it's 12 million and then I can pay 1 million in Shawwal and then in Zikad and then Zulhajj. I said, no, you can't do that, because that's a delay in zakat. Delay in zakat is najais, but paying in advance is jais. So do what is right. So now, because the money becomes less by giving, the person is always scared. And the knowledge, if you spend more, what happens to knowledge? It increases. That's why the ulama who read a lot, who teach a lot, who give a lot of lectures, who do a lot of research, write a lot of articles, answer questions, sitting in Darul Ifta, their knowledge is always increasing, because they're spending. And alim wohi shakhs hai jo ilm par bhi amal kare. Alim is only that person who practices on the knowledge. And he must make his amal according to his ilm. So according to Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu, that's the only alim. And sometimes we think that as long as you know the books, you are alim. As long as you can solve the difficult ibarat of difficult books and you can put the correct irab, then you are alim. That's not the criteria, that's not the standard of big people. The standard of big people is that you are only alim if you practice on your ilm. If you don't practice on your ilm, you are jahil. And that's what Hazrat Ali al-Murtaza Shere Khuda radiallahu ta'ala anhu says. And he says, Taqdeer bahut gehra samandar hai, isme ghota na lagao. Very beautiful. The masla of taqdeer, he says, it's a very deep sea. Don't dive in it. What it means? It means that don't get too curious about the masla of taqdeer. Don't have too many questions about it and want to know more and more and more. Person can be misled. And many of the great ulama, the Sufiya, the Salihin, the Hakim, the wise people, they stopped us taking too much interest in the masla of taqdeer. Okay? So just try to understand the basic of that and don't get too much deep into this. Because the more deep you get into this, the more difficult it will become. And then sometimes person would end up not believing in taqdeer. Or then dedicating, na'uzu billah, injustice and no adl and no insaf to Almighty Allah Azza wa Jal. So therefore, the Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala tells us, and even your teachers must have told you many a times, that don't get too deep into the masla of taqdeer. And then he says, refrain from the friendship of jahils, because they have destroyed so many intelligent people. So your friends must be ulama, not juhala. If you see that person is jahil, he is more dangerous. No matter how sincere he might be with you, and he wants to do good to you, but he will end up doing bad to you. Because he doesn't know what is good and what is bad. So therefore always, the wise people, they'll tell you, your friends must be ulama only.
May you keep ascending success, say, O Mubarak.